B-Pod Studios.
It's indeed a pleasure to be speaking with this man. Truly a publishing legend. A man who founded Penthouse Magazine is now the editor-in-chief and publisher. Bob Guccione is on the phone. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you, Sam?
Very good. Thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Tell me, I knew a few years back there was a lot of talk about you really expanding your company, your general media company. I know you wanted to get back into doing feature films, not just X-rated films, but putting out R. And did I even hear a rumor about Penthouse Casinos opening up? You said in an interview a few years ago that there's a huge gap in this industry that you want to occupy.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are very seriously working on the development of our casino property in Atlantic City right now. And we are doing... As of a little more than a year ago, we made a deal with Request TV and Direct TV, so we are producing 12 features a year now for Direct Satellite and for Request TV, and then, of course, we go into the ordinary video market with it. And I think we're going to do 3 films for HBO this year. So we're becoming more active in the film side and the video side, and we're even looking to create Penthouse Clubs. We're looking to franchise Penthouse Clubs all over the world. There seems to be a very big market for it. It's very interesting right now. And we're looking to also develop, and hopefully this year we'll see the beginning of it, is our own network, you know, our own pay-per-view network, which works very well in Playboy's case. It's they're practically their single real source of income.
And this is
so it's very worthwhile.
This is what I'm hearing from. I mean, you can go back to the 1960s where you and Hef had a nice little competition going as to, you know, who was going to do first what. And I'm hearing from you now with wanting to open the clubs and the casinos and stuff. You kind of want to bring back a little bit of that they've maybe even left behind.
That's right. I don't think Playboy is prepared to do the kind of things that we're doing today. They're trying to become a kind of middle-of-the-road magazine, but you can't be mainstream when you carry nudes. And however sanctified the nudity in their pages may be, it's still not mainstream. You still can't appeal to all people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be everything to everybody. You've got to have your niche, you've got to have a target audience, and you've got to deliver what they really want, what they're really enthusiastic about. So Playboy is unlikely to go into the club business because the club business today means upscale men's clubs where you have 100 to 150 dancers every night. You know, beautiful girls who dance, strip, but who cannot touch the clients, who just put on a magnificent show, and these clubs do very, very well. Well, this is today's version of the old Playboy club, which didn't have anything like it in its time. And I would imagine this would be the time for Playboy to go back into the club business if they had a heart for it. They don't have the heart for it anymore. They sent out a release recently saying, in fact, Playboy is not a sex magazine because they don't like constantly be compared to Penthouse. And they have to be compared to Penthouse,
of course,
whether they like it or not. You know, they are competition. Whether they're pap or not, they're still competition.
And it's been a competition that's been going on for decades. I mean, you go to somebody that's got a magazine subscription, it's either Penthouse or Playboy, for the most part.
Right.
This is something that you would have a unique perspective on. Where do you see society at right now? Playboy, Penthouse, pretty much accepted, but it also seems there's still a hell of a lot of prudishness around.
An awful lot of it. At this moment, we're engaged in a war with the Defense Department. You know,
that's not a good person to have a war with.
Right. Well, there you go. We have to do it. Congress passed an act that made it illegal for post exchanges on military bases around the world to sell magazines like Penthouse.
And this is supposed to accomplish what?
Who knows? I mean, it's called the Honor and Decency in the Military Act, which is some absurd, extreme right-wing Christian coalition kind of label. We went to court. We had it defeated.
Yes, I know. I thought you had it defeated.
Then they came back. They appealed. They won an appeal. Now we're reappealing. And believe me, we'll go, if necessary, up to the Supreme Court. But we will kill that act. if it takes everything I've got.
Yeah, but then they'll just go and put saltpeter in the MREs.
Yeah, let them. But to tell a guy that when he joins the Army, hey, it's okay to kill. We're going to show you films of torture and genocide and mass murder. But for God's sake, don't look at a picture of a nude.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, but didn't during the Vietnam War and stuff, I mean, Playboy, I know, did this. I don't know if you did this where you would send over the playmates or the pet.
Absolutely.
And to entertain the troops.
We both did. We've been carrying, we're the only magazine in the United States that's carried a column every single month from the time of the Vietnam War to the present, dealing with the problems of the returning Vietnam soldiers. When they came back to this country, they came back as not heroes, but as some kind of curious Manchurian candidate type terrorist, drug. And we've gone out of our way to help them. And, you know, we put a hotline up in Washington where any vet anywhere in the United States can call, can ask for information, can get help. We put a bureau down there to deal with their problems directly and to lobby for their interests. So we were the only people that did it. And now the Army's trying to throw us out.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of soldiers didn't like that. We've got something like 11,000 pieces of mail. One letter was signed by 850 different soldiers in Bosnia, saying, don't let them take our magazine away.
You know, I will say this, Bob. All you got to do is do some research on the Guccione family, yourself, your late wife, Kathy, and the work that you people do for research and help with people, whether it be the Vietnam War or people suffering from cancer. A lot of people don't realize that because, you know, you don't stand on a soapbox and trumpet that all the time, and your family has done fantastic work.
Well, we do what we think is right.
Go ahead. Are you eating something right now?
No, I'm not. I'm just thinking. You just said something very interesting, and it's difficult to answer. Certainly, we do the things we do because we really believe in them. This business with the going after the Army, it's not something I waited around and rallied up a lot of other people behind me. I mean, I went after them myself straight away with my own money, and that was out of a kind of ferocity that one feels when one has been battling for the First Amendment for all these years. It seems like nobody ever gets, they don't get the idea. They cannot create censorship in this country. And the most absurd thing about this military act is that the First Amendment begins with the words, Congress shall make no act. It doesn't say with any exceptions. It says Congress shall make no act. And in this precise instance, Congress made the act. It was three congressional members that created the act. But it is on the face of it unconstitutional. And yet we got to go to court and spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of our money and taxpayers' money just to offset what a little group of right-wing extremists, this mixture of religion and politics is very, very bad for the country.
You and Jesse Helms ever come face-to-face?
Oh, and on a number of occasions, not face-to-face in person, but, for example, a few years ago in the last congressional race in his area, we backed the other candidate. Jesse Helms found out about it and started producing commercials saying that I personally was behind this other candidate, that he was being supported by pornographers.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
The poor bastard had to send me back my contribution.
Oh, man. Hey, Bob, tell me, when did the tradition start? And the pet of the year was announced, didn't you early on in the magazine do a self-portrait with you and the pet where you can actually see the camera that you're sitting next to the pet taking the picture? And it kind of became a tradition there for a while.
Yeah, it used to. Every time I took a pet of the year picture, I did a little Hitchcockian thing. You know, I took one picture of myself in the series of photographs with the pet. And sometimes there were cute little pictures. Like one time I would dress up in an evening suit with black tie tails and sit on a chair, and lying across my lap would be a perfectly nude pet. And this kind of surreal juxtaposition was like fun, you know. And I started doing it every year. And up until now, I still do it. It's in every single Pet of the Year issue. It's a kind of tradition, as you say.
Yeah.
It's not too hard to swallow either.
I don't know. I mean, do you ever look at these things and go year by year and the girls stay as young and beautiful as ever, but there's some age coming on old Bob?
How about that? Now you put your finger on the real sensitive point.
You know, at first, you know, hey, there's the penthouse pet with a good-looking, in-shape guy, and now, you know, hey, there's the penthouse pet with an older gentleman.
Now, as time goes on, I sort of move the girl's body more and more, cutting into my figure, as it were.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and there's nothing like a nice rack to divert attention from yourself.
Yeah, that's the truth. You feel good, Bob. You want to keep doing what you're doing and keep striving. I mean, you're not going to go and slow down like Hefner is now, you know, and just, you know, make an appearance every once in a while and just relax all the time, are you?
No, I think we're joined in a very serious battle in this country, and I really believe that. And as long as I'm getting a kick out of it, as long as I can kick back myself, I'm going to keep going.
Bob, I appreciate the time you've spent with us.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Bob. Bye-bye.
Thanks, fellas.
Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on now. Listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Port Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon. The best in local radio that ever been. The show is so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it all afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor. Paradise. Listen to us once, and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Southwest Florida. You've stuck with us through thick and thin. feast and famine, war and peace, and everything in between. Don't think for a minute that we don't appreciate it. No matter how we might come across, we love this damn job. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey! Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us.
What a distinguished gentleman that was.
Bob Guccione?
Man.
Let me explain something. I was telling Haney about this. We have had the privilege of talking to so many people. And those of you that are maybe a little young to understand who Bob Guccione was, he and Hugh Hefner came up together. Guccione maybe about 10 years later. But they had the two competing men's magazines in the country during the 1960s, the 70s, the 80s, and into the 90s, into the early 2000s, before things started to really change with the internet, and they tried to go along with it to somewhat success. But he was one of the moguls in the publishing business. Him, Larry Flint, Hugh Hefner. These guys,
Al Goldstein.
Screw Magazine. When we had Bob Guccione on right there, it was just a year before his empire started to crumble. Because if you heard in the interview, he was trying to open up the casinos in Atlantic City. He was trying to open up the clubs to take the spot where the Playboy clubs
and
were.
Most important of all, he still had his health.
Yep.
Because
movie,
that's
yep.
More than anything else, that's what did
about
it.
About a year after that interview, he developed throat cancer. He said he had a little thing on his tongue about the size of an almond, had it treated, and he wrote the treatment for my cancer is worse than the cancer. Mm-hmm. And he lost the ability to talk. All of his businesses failed. The company went into bankruptcy. And
well, you wonder how.
And then shortly thereafter, he had the cancer spread to his lungs and he died.
I'm sure it's not like how he would want it demonstrated, but, you know, they go, oh, Guccione, isn't he just a figurehead? Doesn't somebody else run that place?
No.
No, because it fell apart when he couldn't do it anymore.
He, and I didn't include it in the interview because it's extremely dated. It was during the Bill Clinton scandal, and he made a multi-million dollar offer to Monica Lewinsky to pose for the magazine. And at the same time, he gave Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, a forum. He printed in Penthouse Magazine the Unabomber's manifesto. First one, took a lot of heat for that. And at the time, groundbreaking stuff. And like you said, when he couldn't run the operation anymore, it went down the drain. He had satellite TV transmissions, Atlantic City, all kinds of stuff, the clubs, all of that he wanted to run and then wasn't able to do it. We caught him at the end while his empire was still strong.
And, you know, him and Hef, I don't think they get their due, really. Maybe Hef does because they give him all kinds of love, but I don't know if it's for the right reason. Because people looked at them as, oh, they're smut peddlers. No. What you have on the internet now are smut peddlers. Here, pay me some money. Here's what you get. They created these lifestyle brands.
Yep.
And only a very small part of it really was, hey, look at naked women. It was much, much more than that.
But, you know, and as you heard talking with him, That was 20 years ago. Talking with him, Hugh Hefner had the Playmate, he had the pet.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to go and take those bunnies and pets to Vietnam to entertain the troops. his charitable work that he never went and shouted for. Lot of stuff.
And both of them great defenders of the First Amendment.
Yep. And true moguls.
Mm-hmm.
In an era when magazines, the print, were king. Yeah. That was good times. Yeah, we also had Larry Flint on the show, too.
We did.
And he was involved in some court battle then, too. Yeah. I'm going through our archives, and I stumble upon these things, and I go, we had him on. I think we should allow people to hear him again. And that was another prime example of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just the collection of people that have been on this show.
It's ridiculous. We don't even remember half of them. We'll come across stuff and we'll say, that's right, we did have them on.
Yep, we had a chat with Rosa Parks. We talked to Dr. Jonas Salk.
Yeah.
You know, it's just ridiculous.
Dr. Heimlich,
yep.
From the guy that came up with the Heimlich maneuver. You know,
Dr. Atkins, where everybody's pretending like the keto diet is something new.
You were his patient.
That's right.
Dr. Atkins said, this is the diet. This is the diet to low carb.
He was a cool guy, too.
He was a cool guy. I think we went and we got the anniversary of Woodstock coming up in July. I think you and I went and looked at the lineup of Woodstock. And during our show tenure, how many of the artists at Woodstock have been on this show? And I think we were up to like 16, 17 different artists that played Woodstock have been a guest on this show. And some of the more obscure ones, Richie Havens, Ravi Shankar.
Yep.
Guests on this, Country Joe.
Sha-na-na, we hung out with Bowser. Yeah.
we've had a lot of them. David Crosby, Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like, get me a list. I want to get me a list of the acts that were at Woodstock 1969, the summer of love and music and peace, and we look down and I go, oh, that's right, we had that person on. Santana,
mm-hmm.
Carlos Santana.
Well, I think one of our best was Santana.
He was spectacular. Yeah, I want to look at that list. We're gonna take a break. We'll do the grab bag. We also have today a chance for you to win. Boy, have we got nice prizes! Got a little something for Valentine's Day from Steven Singer Jewelers in New York. We've got tickets to go see John Lodge of the Moody Blues this Sunday at the casino. Ace Hardware, Pewter Mug, Everblades.
John Lodge is incredible.
He's great. We got all this stuff coming up on the show. Our question of the week as well. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Oftentimes, people approach us and ask if we went to high school together. Sadly, the answer is no. We never went to high school.
Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney.
Hey, Stan, I'm just asking for a friend.
Yeah.
But have you and I ever done blackface?
No.
Because it seems like everybody has.
Close. I was close, but I did not. I was very close. But I did not. Ever.
But we did know somebody that did.
We sure did.
Wouldn't that be great?
Nah.
No, it wouldn't. Well, if we needed it as a weapon. I got to...
It's just funny, because you saw the same thing I did.
Yep.
Because all the late-night peanut gallery that would normally be having a blast with this Virginia scandal, they can't really say anything.
No.
Because they've all done it.
Yep.
Kimmel, Fallon... Even Joy Behar.
Have done blackface.
So they can't say anything.
No. You don't need those pictures popping up because somebody, you know what, I would say somebody, if you want to go and shame them all, find the pictures. They're out there.
You know what broke my heart, though?
What?
Is that they include Billy Crystal in that. And Billy Crystal has done...
He did the Sammy Davis.
And he's done blackface on multiple occasions. I'm going to tell you right now, he is not a racist.
No.
He is an impressionist.
Yep.
And when he does an impression, it's basically like a love letter.
Yeah. His Sammy Davis Jr. is classic, and it was not done out of... Sammy Davis Jr. himself loved it.
And when Billy Crystal and Chris Guest did that mockumentary about the Negro Leagues,
yep.
It was one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
An homage to the league.
Yep.
Look at this. I'm looking at Woodstock, 1969. You know what? Impressive as to... what we've had on this broadcast coming up on the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. And I'm looking at the acts. Thanks to Junior, got me the list. Obviously, certain ones we couldn't get, Hendrix was dead. I wouldn't want Joan Baez on the show.
I couldn't take it.
But taking a look at this, we had Sly from Sly and the Family Stone on the show. John Entwistle from The Who.
Mm-hmm.
Richie Havens, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. They were paid $5. We had David Crosby on the show. Ravi Shankar, Johnny Winter, guests on this show. Country Joe and the Fish, we had Country Joe on. Mickey Hart of the Grateful Dead on this show. Leslie West from Mountain on the show. John Sebastian on show. Santana on this show. Sha-na-na on this show. We put a good dent in this list.
And one of our listeners is on the album cover.
Yep. By the way, the highest paid act at Woodstock was Jimi Hendrix. He got $18,000. Blood, Sweat, and Tears got $15,000. And then it goes down from there.
Isn't Blood, Sweat, and Tears coming to the casino soon?
I don't know.
But I think David Clayton Thomas is doing it.
I hope so. They were great.
Spectacular.
Yep. All right, let's do the grab bag. Brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. Told you yesterday about this Netflix Asian woman, Marie Kondo, who helps you clean up your home. Huge hit. Well, I don't know if you've got any of the other pay services, but on Hulu, there's one that's also catching on.
Everyone is obsessed with the Japanese organizing consultant Marie Kondo and the KonMari method of tidying their homes. But now, there's a new show with even easier ways to quickly organize and declutter your home. Introducing Gus Bridges, an unemployed lifelong bachelor who will take you through his easy steps to clean up fast, like doing laundry.
Take your underwear out of the dryer. And then just throw it in a drawer. Nobody's looking.
Cleaning the bathroom.
Brush and flush. Done.
Disposing of things you don't need anymore.
Take a cardboard box, write free stuff on it, put all your junk in it, and go put it outside a house on the corner.
And cleaning the kitchen.
Find yourself a girlfriend after a week or so. Invite her over. They always do the dishes.
Cleaning Up with Gus. Now streaming on Hulu.
Okay, Junior has put up a note here that's informing me Blood, Sweat, and Tears 2019 will be at 7 p.m. on Seminole Casino.
Yeah, we don't
what
have
it. What does that mean?
Do we have a date?
Can you translate?
February 28th.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears 2019 will be at 7 p.m. on the Seminole Casino.
On the Seminole Casino, yeah.
Okay. I understand it.
Remember that talk we had yesterday?
It was just one step. Sorry.
All right.
Yeah, all right. That's okay.
And what day is it?
Yeah, we don't have the day that it's happening.
It's on a Thursday.
So, but it's this month.
Yeah, it's on this month on the 28th.
Thank you. leave it to kids not to fully understand how to rob a bank. Three teenagers tried to rob a bank in Oklahoma City on Tuesday.
How'd it go?
Not good. They got caught because they had Uber drop them off and then tried to use Uber as their getaway.
they called me for a getaway car. So I turn the corner and come up on Midfirst Bank, and all I see is cop cars. I'm like, this is not normal. I see cops running towards the back of the building. There's like three or four of them in handcuffs, putting them in cop cars. Well, I said, did somebody rob a bank? He says, well, attempted.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
If you're going to do something like that, have your own car. I just count myself lucky because if the cops not got there before me, it could have turned out completely different.
Yeah. Going to rob a bank, I'll take an Uber.
I don't know. I'm not impressed with bank robbing as I used to be.
Well, it's different now.
Because, you know, that's Junior's dream, is to rob a bank. It's important to have goals, son.
Yeah.
But now,
you know what? But I'll tell you, if the ransom note that you hand the teller says anything like you just showed us, they won't know what to do.
No, because I mean,
put the money on the door.
Robbing a bank could not be easier.
Oh yeah.
With the rules that they have now,
yeah.
I mean, you barely even have to ask for the money before they're putting it in a bag and handing it to you.
Got to make sure it doesn't have the dye pack, and you know you've got about 2.5 minutes after they push the silent alarm.
But, I mean, you don't have to overpower anybody.
No!
You don't have to be violent. All you have to do is have the intent to rob the bank, and they will bend over backwards to help you.
To accommodate you.
Yep. I read one story about a guy. He managed to rob like three or four banks, and you know why he was getting away with it?
Why?
Because he was a Lance Armstrong type, and he'd stash his bike nearby, and he'd strip off his bank robbing outfit, be in his cyclist clothes, put the money in his backpack, and start fast cycling, and nobody suspected him. Because a Lance Armstrong type wouldn't be robbing
Hell
a bank.
No, he's out for health.
Yep, until they caught him.
Yep. A guy in St. Louis was about to be carjacked. He got out of it, though. It happened on Monday. The carjacker tried to shoot him in the leg. Luckily, his gun jammed. But he still got the keys. Except he also dropped his cell phone in the process. So the victim picked up the cell phone. Ah, you got my car. You got the keys. You tried to shoot me in the leg. But I got your phone. I got it. And the carjacker made a deal with him.
I hopped out of the car really quick, and then that's when, like, I started talking to him and telling him, you know, it's not worth it, don't do this. The gun jammed, I was like, well, I'll throw my keys on the roof because I can get a ladder and get him down later. He dropped his cell phone, so I grabbed it. Just give me the keys, I'll give you your phone, we can both just run. We exchanged, and he ran that way, I ran back into the restaurant. I mean, I probably shouldn't have tried to fight him off. It was probably stupid to just let him have the car. But if the gun worked, I probably would have been a different news story.
Why is that stupid? See, that just what I was saying about the banks. That just encourages crime.
Yeah. You know what? The bald eagle. What a symbol of America. The majestic bird flying up in the clouds. And
we've had them around here.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't matter how many times you see him, you still stop and stare at him.
I got a story of a lazy bald eagle.
Well, they're still, you got to remember, they have that look, but they're still just buoyed.
Yep, they're buoyed. Lazy bald eagle, a fisherman was cutting up his catch off the coast of Canada on Sunday when a big bald eagle perched next to him and wanted some fish. This bald eagle wanted the fish so badly that he stood there watching the fishermen cut up and fillet the fish.
Now, was there something wrong with the eagle? Because they're able to catch fish.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. He was able to pet the eagle because the eagle had one thing in mind. The fish. And so finally, the fisherman gives him a fillet of fish. And the eagle takes it and starts eating it. When that happens, another bald eagle comes flying in.
Oh, come on, guys. Don't act like vultures. It's
very vulture-like. There he is. Here you go. This is what was happening.
A Saints fan who can take...
Oh, no, that's not it. This is it. Here you go.
What's he want, your fish, Matt? That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. What's going on with this guy?
Hey! Hey! All right. Yeah, there he is. And just stood there. And I at first thought something was wrong with him. Well, he's fine.
Well, I guess, you know, from Boyd's point of view,
Boyd.
He's just being smart.
Yep.
Now think about this. You know, if I just sit here and this guy's going to feed me fillets, well, that way I'm not expending any more calories on catching fish.
Yeah.
And I can catch twice as much tomorrow because I'll have a lot of energy. Yeah. I'll be bouncing off the walls. Kind of like Junior eating Funyuns.
Yep, he loves his Funyuns. Dateline New Orleans. Family of a guy in New Orleans got a little creative with his obituary. You see, he died on Sunday at 1 p.m. And they wrote that he was determined not to watch Super Bowl 53.
A Saints fan who continues to throw shade at the infamous no-call even in his passing.
Henry Jaume Sr. passed away this past Super Bowl Sunday at the age of 65. And in his obituary published in The Advocate online, it reads, quote, Jaume passed away at 1 p.m., determined not to watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Missed it by about 4 hours.
Well, that's some determination we can all learn from.
Sure can. You be the judge. Former White House press secretary Sean Spicer was a guest on Blaze TV's post State of the Union coverage. They think he was having fun, imbibing, if you will, and then going on camera.
Well, who thinks that's a good idea?
You tell me.
You know what? And we do it so rarely anymore, but there was a time when you and I imbibed quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to see a camera.
No. You tell me. Sean Spicer a little tipsy?
Spike, where were you? You were in a...
I had a client meeting, and I was yelling at you, and you barely recognized me. And you were like...
No, you're behind a rope. I'm like, what, Spice, you need... You like a velvet rope?
Yeah,
you like
a velvet. I need velvet. I love velvet. It feels good. No, I was calling you. Look, I'm having fun,
dude. Feel free.
Look at... That's good. Feel free. I never knew that Target had good clothes like that.
All right.
Yeah.
Little tipsy. Little tipsy.
You know the odd thing about that guy? Is I think he's really smart.
Yeah, but not common sense smart.
No.
Not of his surroundings.
I think you introduce stress, he will lose it. You introduce alcohol, he will lose it. But when he's relaxed, he's very normal and makes some good points.
Yep. Tracy Morgan was on Conan. And he's married to a woman who's 18 years younger than him.
Can you imagine that, Stan?
Yeah.
How many years?
18.
Well, that's not that.
It's not that much.
Yeah.
I've seen more.
Yeah.
18 years younger than him. And he talked about the disadvantages of being married to a woman much younger than yourself, and you know, and what you have to deal with.
Being married to a young girl like that, it puts you at a disadvantage.
She's much younger than you?
Yeah, she's 18. My wife is 18 years younger than me.
Oh.
So it puts you at a disadvantage in the relationship. When you have a beautiful woman like that, it puts you at a disadvantage because you're not going nowhere. You're never going to leave. I told my wife the other day, let me tell you something. You keep treating me the way you treat me, one day you're going to wake up and I'm going to be sitting right there. I ain't going to leave.
Yeah. 18 years difference. That is just... Wow, I thought it would have been more.
Well, I think the furthest I ever went was, 14, 15?
Yeah, about that, yep.
18. Well,
yeah, 18 years.
Well, let's see. 18 years. Can you imagine 20 plus?
Yeah, can you imagine that?
Could you?
Yeah, well...
Imagination's important.
Let's move on.
Because sometimes dreams come true.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How old are you, Junior?
25.
Yeah, what about it? Okay. Good.
Closer to Junior.
27. a lot of people don't know this. We'll do it for Throwback Thursday. Haney and I remember when we were kids growing up, the TV show One Day at a Time, Valerie Bertinelli.
This is it.
Schneider.
Yep.
There was an episode in season 3 of One Day at a Time.
I think we've had half that cast on the show.
We've had a large number of them on the show. But in season 3, Gloria Estefan was a guest on the show.
Why?
I have no idea. But I guess they had her do the theme for that episode. Instead of the regular one, they had her do it. And this is how it sounded. I guess it's coming out on DVD, season 3 of the show. And for that episode, she did the theme music.
This is it. This is life, the one you get. So go and have a ball. This is it.
Yeah.
Straight ahead.
Very
and rest
Latin.
Assured. You can't be sure at all.
You sure that's not the new Netflix show?
Enjoy the view.
The what?
The new Netflix One Day at a Time.
No.
Are you positive?
No. Yeah, this was One Day at a Time TV show. Netflix is critically acclaimed. Season 3 out tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the new One Day at a Time. She didn't do this back in the 70s. Yeah, it's the third season of their remake. This isn't from the 70s.
Classic 70s TV show One Day at a Time.
No, they remade it, Stan.
They did?
Yeah. This is not from the 70s.
Who plays Valerie Bertinelli?
I don't know. I wouldn't watch it.
This is a new show?
Yeah, I wouldn't watch it.
Season 3 already of a new show?
Yeah, I wouldn't watch it.
What channel is it on?
Netflix. What you were just talking about. You just plugged it.
Oh. News to me.
Yep.
And again, I'm getting up there in age.
Yep.
News to me.
I did love that Tracy Morgan bit. Because yep. You know what?
Yeah.
You keep treating me this way?
Yeah.
I'm going to be right here.
Being married to a young girl like that, it puts you at a disadvantage.
She's much younger than you?
Yeah, she's 18. My wife is 18 years younger than me.
Oh.
So it puts you at a disadvantage in the relationship. When you have a beautiful woman like that, it puts you at a because you're not going nowhere. You're never going to leave. I told my wife the other day, let me tell you something. You keep treating me the way you treat me, one day you're going to wake up, and I'm going to be sitting right there. I ain't going to...
Grab Bag, brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. We'll take your phone calls when we come back.
A lot of people ask us how the hell we've managed to stay on the air for so damn long.
Yeah.
Well, there's a bunch of reasons, but here's two of them. Our guardian angel wears a hard hat, and Father Pete had to call in a few favors. Without that, we'd have been gone in 1998. And that's the truth. Stan and Haney.
That's a fact.
On 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney.
We've made our bed.
Yep. Sad news in the baseball world. Haney, another chunk of our childhood is gone. Baseball Hall of Famer Frank Robinson has died.
Oh.
He was the first player to win an MVP in both leagues. Later became the first African-American manager in Major League Baseball. Passed away at the age of 83 after a prolonged illness. Hall of Fame stats: batted .294, 586 home runs in 21 seasons, mainly with the Reds and Baltimore Orioles. Finished out his career with the Dodgers, the Angels, and the Indians. Won a World Series with the Orioles in 66. MVP honors after batting .286 and two home runs. And in 1970, first league MVP with the Reds in 61, and one of the all-time greats, Frank Robinson. I was, I was a Yankee fan, but as a kid, I remember seeing him play when the Orioles
came. The greats are the greats.
The greats are the greats. One of the all-time home run hitters. You had something on your mind.
Yeah.
And then I want to concentrate on Junior here for a second with what he brought us today.
Well, it's interesting because this does kind of involve Junior a little bit.
Hold on.
What'd
I do this time?
Don't worry about it. Sit back.
Don't talk out of turn.
See, he's starting to pipe up.
All right.
Sorry, guys.
All right. So I will admit it. I am a bit remiss. I don't regularly check our Facebook page. I try to make sure I do it at least once a year.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And for some reason, last night, I thought, well, let's see what that looks like.
Yeah.
And I realized that Junior has put a bunch of videos up there.
Of us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw he had a video of when Dave was getting the rat that was by my house.
I can't watch that one. I know it's up there.
But nobody can watch that one because he filmed it sideways for some reason.
You know more. You know better than
that.
What
do you mean it was sideways?
And I'm looking at the comments on the video.
Sideways.
And what moron shot this? What an idiot. That's all the comments are.
You know what? You're pretty well versed in computer stuff and shooting video. I haven't
seen
one sideways.
It's like if you turned the camera. The whole thing sideways.
Did you shoot it sideways?
No, I shot it normally.
No, you didn't. Look at it.
Go to it right now.
I'm on it right now.
And it's straight or sideways?
Maybe.
What is it, straight or sideways?
Sideways. Mm.
Can you read the comments, please?
The ones that you can say on the air?
There's only a few comments on that video.
Yeah, give me one second.
Okay.
Someone needs to learn how to use the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie Wonder filmed this.
Oh!
This video is proof of why they work in radio.
How do you let this happen? How do you let the... Rule one.
Make you guys look good.
Yeah. Can you fix that?
Stevie Wonder filmed this? No wonder they're in radio.
Can you fix that?
I'll try.
If not, take it down.
All right.
So...
What?
That's just part of it. But yeah. So then I figure, well, maybe I better make sure they're not all like that.
They're not all like that, are they?
No, thank God.
Yeah, I don't think they are. And I would have noticed that.
And so I just picked a random one.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was, and it was like when he was filming our first breaks.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me, what a limited perspective we really have, because I'm looking at this video, yeah, and it's you and me doing exactly what we're doing right now,
yeah,
only I'm looking at it from this direction.
Yeah, like you're a fly on the wall looking at it.
And it was really weird.
Yeah, watching you work.
Well, watching both of us from a different angle.
Yeah.
Because we're used to one particular view,
yeah,
and that's our whole reality.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's lots of other stuff going on, but we don't know about it.
No. Nope.
Because we're looking right here.
Well, we're having a conversation between ourselves.
Now,
I don't care what the hell is going on.
Now, when the camera was over there, you can see the Stan and Haney sign.
Oh, yeah.
And, And I'm looking at all this other stuff, and I'm like, no, that's not right.
Because it's in a different angle. How many likes do we have on our page right now? I think we're close to another milestone. I got to get that over the top. How many likes? We think we're 8,000 what?
8,388.
All right, so that means we have 12 more to get to 8,400, right?
Yep.
All right, 12 more likes on the Stan and Haney Facebook page. I need it before the end of the show. Go to the Stan and Haney Facebook page, look at the sideways video, comment on that if you'd like, and like the page if you haven't already. You can go to stanandhaney.com, and it'll send you right to the Facebook page if you can't find it.
But what I was going to say is, you know, that was done because we're on the radio and they want content on social media and whatnot. But I thought it might be interesting for the listener.
Yeah.
Just set up your phone or camera or what have you, and don't make a big deal about it, but film like a half hour of you interacting with your wife and kids, what have you, and forget about it for a while, then go back and watch it and see
if you like you because you're watching you.
But you see the exact same thing that you participated in from a completely different angle.
Absolutely. Yep.
And you shouldn't do it when it's fresh on your mind,
because
that'll
while.
Pollute it.
Yep.
But it was like I picked a random video. I don't know if it was from like November or December
probably.
Or something.
It's
and
odd.
So it was long enough that I didn't remember every little detail. And I'm like, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but this is completely different.
Yeah. I'm gonna test him out right now. He went and performed a little project.
I can't believe he didn't even see those comments.
No, I can't. And he's supposed to be monitoring that stuff. And
you monitoring that stuff?
Yes.
Okay. We fix it?
Yes.
Thank you.
How long ago was the rat thing?
Last week.
Okay.
Okay. Now,
do you monitor it like once every 6 weeks, whether it needs it or not?
Every day.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. You know, give us a sample of the real thing we got from Office Christmas Party. We use it as the drop. Hi, I'm Carol. You got one of those?
Yeah, we love that.
One of the real ones?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Carol.
Okay, the whole thing?
Hi, I'm Carol. I got to get home before I miss my stories.
Okay, everybody knows that.
Now, and for some reason, it really tickles us.
Now, yeah, it does. Now, Junior has recording studios. And I said, do you have the equipment, the technique to go and change it around to try to copy that, but with new sayings? And he said, absolutely. Absolutely, I know how to do that. And I said, well, why don't you go and do a few of them, and then we'll see if they fit on the air. Where Junior created...
Oh, so that was your idea.
Junior created Hi, I'm Carol's.
Then that was your idea.
It was a joint idea.
Because I thought it was his idea.
It was a joint idea. I said, could it be done? Why, are you taking credit for this?
I'd like to.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you full credit for it. Brought it up, but it's all yours. Especially after we air these. So how many of these did you do at your studio?
I did 14.
Oh,
now,
really?
Now, did you write these?
Yeah.
Oh, good
okay,
job.
All right. So he wrote them. And all right. Let's
wrote and produce.
Yeah, and we'll see which ones are keepers. We might throw them all out. We might save a few. We might say, half of them. One might be good. Five might. Let's give them. All right. What are you ready to roll them? All right. This is Junior from his studio doing the Hi, I'm Carol's.
Okay.
All right. Roll them.
Oh, my computer froze.
Don't look.
It froze.
Okay, I'm going to give
Don't be shy.
I'm going to give you 2 minutes to get it rebooted up. Reboot. I'm going to take this phone call and you reboot. You let me know when you're ready. Because I'm not going to a break until I hear these.
All 14 of them.
All 14 damn Hi, I'm Carol's that you wrote. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, ahoy, Stan Haney, this is Steve. How are you?
Hey, Steve, are you talking to us on a speakerphone?
Is that better?
Much better. Thank you,
okay.
buddy.
Okay, thank you, yeah, pal. What's up? The earbud. Sorry about that.
That's right.
Yeah, what I wanted to ask you guys is really, what is the big deal about blackface?
Oh, I mean, please, I'm going to hang up on you.
No, but seriously,
use your head.
Please, step in the trap, Stan.
Yeah, no,
use your head. Oh, boy. All right, we ready?
I think it's a matter of intent.
I agree it's a matter of intent.
But nobody agrees with me.
No, and the thing is, these yearbook things, like you were saying, Billy Crystal doing something versus somebody in a college yearbook.
Billy Crystal is being thrown in with everybody else and says, oh, he did blackface because he did it in his impression of Sammy Davis Jr. He loves Sammy Davis Jr.
And Sammy loved him.
Yeah.
Yep.
And loved the impression.
Yep. All right. Hi, I'm Carol.
Hi, I'm Carol. I need to tell Stan to put the Arby's in the freezer.
Okay. Good. Next.
Hi, I'm Carol. I'm the reason Chuck Berry was arrested in 1959.
Very good. 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 So far, so good. He's playing the gems first.
Those are pretty good.
Yes, they are.
Starting strong.
Yes, they are. Go.
Hi, I'm Carol. Jeff Zito said he'd pay for my dinner if I went out with Dave the Waterman.
See what I mean? Yeah. It had potential. Next.
Hi, I'm Carol. FDR's legs work just fine with me.
Good one. See? Good. 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 Next.
Hi, I'm Carol. Junior swiped right on me on Tinder.
Good. Okay.
Hi, I'm Carol. I need to get Ming Toy out of the freezer to make room for the Arby's.
Okay. Yeah. Next.
Hi, I'm Carol. I'm what the millennials call ratchet.
I don't know what that means, but I bet it's funny.
I said the same thing. I don't know what ratchet is.
What is it?
It's like a hood rat, just a very low class lady.
Did you just go?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't say
that. I don't
that.
Like that one. I don't because I don't get it.
All right,
okay, go.
Hi, I'm Carol. I'm the reason Dave left the Rob Show.
Good. Yep. Next.
Hi, I'm Carol. Junior asked me to take a nap with him.
Next.
Hi, I'm Carol. I'm going to show these kids how twerking is really done.
I don't like the millennial stuff.
Yeah. You gotta think old.
Is that all of them?
Is that it?
Hi, I'm Carol. Dave the Waterman calls me his Midnight Rider.
Next.
Started strong.
Yeah, I told you. He cherry-picked.
Hi, I'm Carol. I was JFK's other mistress. Hi, I'm Carol. Dave keeps asking to use my back door, and I'm afraid to ask what that means.
No, see, that made me cringe a little bit.
I think that's all.
That's it. The first batch of them were pretty good. You cherry picked.
Yeah, see, I think you were on the right track initially, and then you got too specific with Dave the Waterman and station stuff.
Yeah.
I think you're better off with historical stuff, and what would have made it even better is, you know, like, hi, I'm Carol. I'm the one that put FDR in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Although I do like the one that, hi, I'm Carol. I'm the reason Dave is not on the Rob Show.
Yes, but you see, that should be Spice, not the main
exactly.
dish.
Exactly.
Hi, I'm Carol. I'm the reason Dave left the Rob Show.
That's Spice. We're going to take a break. Going to give you a chance to win. We got nice prizes. I'm going to... I got a survey. And it's... Yeah, they do them. It's a survey about how people shower.
Oh.
You get up in the morning and you shower.
Yeah.
Shampoo.
Nice.
Water going there, and I've got the percentages. I'm going to see, and we're going to rapid fire. If you're in the correct area of percentage, give or take a few on either side, we can give you a prize. I'll go over them when we come back, and I've got 10 things what people do in the shower.
Hi, I'm Carol. I'm the reason Bill Clinton's father left his mommy.
We'll be back.
If you or someone you know suffers from an addiction to bad radio, please go to StanandHaney.com for help. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, gang. Stan and Haney here. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. It is a Thursday. About a half hour away from your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails, an hour away from our question of the week. But we're going to give you a chance to win right now. And I'll go over the prizes. Boy, we got great prizes suddenly. Thank you to whoever arranged this stuff. I got a list, 7 things. And we're going to see how what you do and how well you can fit into the percentages. Survey was done. Do you shower like other people? Do you? You probably assume you shower just like anybody else.
Well, you know what happens when you assume something.
Yep, you make an ass out of you and me. Recent survey was done to ask people their showering habits. I'm going to give you a situation. You think about how you shower, and then I will give you a question about the percentages of people that do what you do. Some of these are shocking that I didn't know people lived this way, but they showed up on the list. Up for grabs, and please, you cannot have won anything for the last 30 days. This Sunday at the Seminole Casino in Immokalee, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer from the Moody Blues, John Lodge, will be performing.
Guest in the studio, yep. And of course, you know him from his decades of excellence with the Moody Blues. Yep. And the stuff that he has just come out with is mind-blowing.
We have guest list tickets. So you get a pair of tickets, and you don't have to come down here and pick them up. You'll be on a guest list at the Seminole Casino and Hotel in Immokalee. So we have John Lodge tickets. I heard about this listing. I'll be honest with you where I heard about it. I heard about it on the Stern Show on satellite. There is a jeweler up in New York, Steven Singer, and he has an exclusive process for roses for Valentine's Day.
So his name is Singer, but yep. He's a jeweler.
Yep.
And then we know somebody named Jewel who's a singer.
Yep.
Huh.
He has for Valentine's Day.
For what?
Valentine's. So for your lady out there, gold dip roses. These are real roses. The edges are dipped in gold, and the process that he uses keeps the rose perfect forever. It comes to you in a gift rose box. It's edged in pure gold, and the rose stays perfect forever. So if you're thinking of a great Valentine's Day gift, think Steven Singer. We got a few of those to give away. Everblades tickets, Sunshine Ace Hardware tickets, or gift certificates.
Will those gold roses, do they pawn easy?
Yes, they do. It's gold. And also $50 from the pewter mug.
Asking for a friend.
Yep. It's going to go rapid fire. I'm going to give you your question. If you answer it correctly, you're going to win. If you don't answer it correctly, I'm going to move on to another caller. 277-9600. Your showering habits. Let's play Stan's How Do You Shower? I'll give you your question. And then we'll see if you fall in the correct percentages of people that do. I'll go 5% on either side. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Ryan.
Ryan, you ready for yours?
Yes, sir.
All right, your showering habits, Ryan. Do most people stand or sit in the shower? Stand or sit in the shower?
stand.
You are correct. Most people do stand in the shower.
Otherwise, you'd take a bath, wouldn't you?
No, I'll get into this. I want to see if he's a winner here. Most people do stand within 5% on either side. What percentage of people stand in the shower?
I don't know. There's a lot of older folks that probably stand.
Maybe.
I'm going to go people that stand. I'm going to go 65%.
Sorry, Ryan. Nope. The actual number, wait till you hear the others. 79% of people say they stand when taking a shower. 6% of the people surveyed said they sit down for the entire shower. Another 15%, probably mostly women, another 15% stand most of the time but sit to shave. So, Ryan didn't get that one. We'll move to another question. Ahoy, who's this?
Hello, this is Kimmy.
Hi, Kimmy. Hi, how are you, baby?
I'm doing good.
All right, here's your question, and then I'm going to want the percentage of it. This is when you shower, Kimmy. Do you face away from the shower head, or do you stand towards the shower head?
Face away.
Most people face away from the shower head when they shower. Within 5 percentage points either way, what percentage of people face away from the shower? We know it's the most popular, but what percentage of people face away from the shower within 5 points either side?
82.
I'm sorry, Kimmy. That's a nice try. Actually, the number is 68% away from the shower head.
What if you do both?
It's not on here. 32% stand towards the shower head. I primarily stand away from the shower head.
Again, you say primarily.
Yeah, I'm just going with what they say.
But they didn't word it primarily.
I have 68% face away from the shower head, 32% stand. Some of these have other things on it, but not that one. Let's go to the next one. Seriously, I'm giving you a 10% range, and I'm telling you whether it's the most popular or not.
I think you're too invested in it.
Yeah, I'm very invested. ahoy, who's this?
Donovan.
Here's your how many people say they make the shower as hot as possible and how many keep it warm but not hot? Do most people make it as hot as possible or just warm?
Just warm.
That is incorrect.
Really?
Yeah. It depends on if you're a man or a woman.
But of course it does. But I'm going to give you a shot at this. I'm going to tell you right now, most people, according to the survey, make the shower as hot as possible. What percentage do that? And I'll give you the 5% on either side. What percent of people make the water as hot as possible when they shower?
60%.
You just got in 55%, and I said there was the 5% range. You fall within that range. 55% say they make the water as hot as possible. 45% say they like to keep it warm. You are a winner. What would you like?
Can I get the rose?
You sure can. Hold on.
Yeah, that's something that is always been true. I've been with a few different women.
Yeah.
And, you know, in every relationship, there's some point where, come on, get in the shower with me.
Yeah.
And I finally learned I better check the temperature before I just go in there. Because women, you would think they would end up with third-degree burns with as hot as they make it.
They like it hot. All right, this I found interesting.
Why is that? Why are they so comfortable with scalding hot water?
Yeah, I like mine probably on the hotter side. I don't like a warm shower. Give me some heat. But I've been at times, you and I both know, during a hurricane when you're without power for about 2 weeks, you'll take a cold shower if you have to.
Yeah, I like it to be comfortable, but you know, that steaming, hot, blistering, burning stuff.
Ahoy, who's this?
This is Jim.
Jim, all right, here we go. Now, I want you to take a guess as to what you do in the shower, and then I'll tell you what the majority do, and that's when I need your percentage. This I find disturbing for me personally. What do people do most when they're in the shower? Do they shampoo their hair every day or just a few times a week?
I would say every day.
That's what I would say too, but it is not the majority. The majority only wash their hair a few times a week. That bothers me. But with that being said, and that being the majority, within five on either side, what percentage of people say they only wash their hair a few times a week?
42%.
Sorry, does not fall into the parameter.
Well, you know, ladies, they got that shower cap.
Yup. And I think a lot of ladies took this survey. I really do. I wash my hair in the shower every day.
But that's because you're a man.
Yep.
And you view your hair the same as the rest of your body. Just wash it.
Yep.
Now, for a woman.
Yep, it's every few days.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
Yep.
You have to do all this stuff to it.
And I guess they included men and women both in this. Here's the deal. 31% say they wash their hair with shampoo every day in the shower. 54% only do it a few times a week. Here's where it gets bad. 12% say they do it maybe once a week or even less. 1% never wash their hair. That 1%. I'm sorry. Even if you shave your head bald, you should put some soap up there and give yourself a skull rub. I think it's very important. It clears the follicles. Oh, my goodness. All right, here we go. This is a good one. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry. Here you go. This one's interesting because it's straight up I do or I don't. What percentage of people say they wash their hair first and then their body? You know, some people go in, wash their body. Last thing they do is wash their hair. Others say they get in there, wash their hair, and then their body. What do you do?
Well, I wash my hair first.
And you would be in the majority. Now, within 5 points either side for the prize, what percentage of people say they wash their hair first when they get in the shower?
76%.
You hit it right on the low end within the 5-point range. 81% of people say they wash their hair first, then their body. You got it. What would you like?
I'll take it. Let's see. You know, I think I'm going to try the rose. I've always been interested in that.
Yep. Hold on. Absolutely. Okay. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, ahoy, Stan. This is Steve.
Steve, here we go. Simple question about being in the shower. What do you do? When you shampoo in the shower, do you always use conditioner after shampooing or never use it?
It's got to be always or never, huh?
Always or never. Let's just say as a rule, and they ask you, it's a black and white question. Use the conditioner, don't use conditioner in the shower.
Since it seems to be mostly women that are answering, I'm going to say always.
Yep. Majority always use conditioner after they shampoo. Same goes for you, buddy. Fall within the 5% on either side, and you get a prize. What percentage of people always use conditioner after they shampoo?
Oh, I'm going to say 57.
Sorry. A lot higher than that. 76% always use conditioner after they shampoo. 8% say, never put it in my hair. Don't do it. All right, I got one more. I won't ask you if you do this. I'll just use it as a general question, and we'll see if we can get a winner. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, Todd.
What's your first name?
Todd.
Hey, Todd. Last one, and we'll see if you're a big winner.
Okay.
What percentage, and I'm just going to give you the percentage. I'm not going to ask you. What percentage of people pee in the shower? What percentage of people pee in the shower? I'll give you 5% on either side to win. What percentage of people pee in the shower?
I'm going to say 80% admit it. I think 100% do it.
Yeah, okay. So you're going with 80%?
Yeah.
Sorry. Not that many will admit it.
And not that many do it.
You know, the thing is, the best thing is, as soon as you hit warm water.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You're going to have to pee. Go pee before you get into the shower, and you won't have this problem. However, having said that, 72% of people admit, this is not the ones that don't want to, 72% of the people surveyed admit they pee in the shower. Now, if we saw something here, it seems like a lot of this were women answers. So, women, your wife, your girlfriend, she pees in the shower. 72%.
Well, you know, you were talking about that Marie Kondo. I talked to a cleaning professional.
Yes.
Who told me that women are 10 times filthier than men.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
That is
filthy
a fact.
Filthy creatures.
Look at, if you're married, look at your bathroom. Most of the mess in that bathroom is from the woman.
Yep.
Ask a woman what the ladies' room is like at places, and they'll tell you it's a mess. Guys' restroom is not anywhere near as bad. It's the women's, especially if they're getting ready for a night out, they don't care what they spill, dump into the sink, what they smear on the mirrors.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, a guy's got a razor, toothbrush, deodorant, maybe a can of shaving cream.
That's it.
You look over at the ladies' sink. Looks like you walked into a Walgreens.
Yep.
And the mirror all smeared up.
Walked
into
a Walgreens or a murder scene.
It's like, how could you possibly use that many chemicals?
Yep, chemicals. We're going to take a break.
And then Go over to the shower. Oh, look. There's a bar of soap.
Yeah.
And a thing of shampoo.
Yeah.
Okay, that must be for the man.
Yep.
What is the rest of this?
Yeah.
What is that?
This scrubber, this application stuff. There's about like four or five different bottles of stuff.
And then you look down at the drain, it's grown a beard.
Yes! We'll be back, Stan and Haney.
An almost Nixonian paranoia. Displayed prominently and proudly in a public forum. Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Thursday afternoon. Thank you for joining us. We're going to check traffic here for you in just a second. News headlines.
with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock Flupper. Your emails 30 minutes from now. Our question of the week. We do it every Thursday. It's not a yes or no answer. It's your story. And we'll take your phone calls.
Just ran across something interesting.
Yeah.
It will not come as a surprise to you, Stan, or me. A new study has found that golden oldies stick in millennials' mind far more than the relatively bland, homogenous pop of today.
Yep.
According to academics, a golden age of popular music lasted from the 1960s to the 1990s. Songs from this era proved to be much more memorable than tunes released in the 21st century. They tested a group of millennials on their ability to recognize hit records from different decades. 643 participants aged 18 to 25 were tested on their recognition of songs.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that more recent songs didn't make the grade.
Nope.
The songs that were well known, and again, these are people 18 to 25.
They're not us.
Well known songs by them. When a Man Loves a Woman by Percy Sledge. Baby Come Back by Player. The Tide is High by Blondie.
Yep.
So it's evidently not just us.
We were right all along.
Yeah, and I think there's a very simple reason why. The music industry is not lucrative anymore.
No.
The time those records were made, you know, pre-internet, pre-download, pre-streaming, they spent tons of money. And a lot of that money went nowhere on bands that never, ever made it. But they would support bands as they grew, you know, through different phases. And, you know, when you can make money, when you can make a living making music, even if you're not a big star, which the vast majority of them weren't, never will be. But the ones that were, they were kept alive by the record labels.
Yeah.
And that money isn't there anymore.
Oh, while we're talking about that and when we're talking about in the sweet spot, I don't know if it's my imagination.
Because you look at that, the 1960s through the 1990s, what's the difference? Internet.
Here's what I want you to, you can find this for me. Because I was reflecting earlier this week, over the weekend, about all the people that we've had to interview, all the bands that we've done, the concerts that we've gone to. And I really can't find it anywhere. I had the album. You remember, he was big in the 60s, Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He was the first artist, musical artist, that I had to interview working in radio.
Yeah.
I saw him at Brassy's.
We saw a lot at Brassy's.
Now, see if you can find this song. And I only want to play, it's only a 3-minute song, but I'll even just play it for like a minute. He came out with his comeback album, and I was reading about it. It was the last time he had an album that charted. John Mellencamp loved Mitch Ryder and signed him to his Riva label.
Mm-hmm.
And he put out a song that I still remember him doing.
Is it him solo or him with the Detroit Wheels?
Him solo. And it was called Big Time. And John Mellencamp produced it, and his band played with Mitch Ryder, with the exception of the drummer, which was Mitch's guy. But he released a song called Big Time, and I remember it sounding just like a John Mellencamp song. And I said, he was out promoting that record when I first had to go and interview
a rock star. It was called Big Time.
And when did this come out?
82, 83. Somewhere around there. He also did the Prince song, When You Were Mine. And it was John Mellencamp produced the album. The album was called, can I remember? But it was the first cut on the album was Big Time. B-I-G-T-I-M-E. That's how he used to sing it.
Yeah.
Don't kick a sleeping dog or something like that was the name of the album. If you didn't find it, great. If not, but it was called the first song off the album. It was.
So it wasn't necessarily a hit.
Oh, the album charted, and I guess the Prince song that he covered charted. But this was
what did you say the name of the album was?
Don't Kick a Sleeping Dog or Don't Kick a Lying Dog. Or
I don't know that I have it.
Hold it. You found it,
Junior? He might find it easier than me. I'm looking for it the right way. So, might be able to find it on YouTube or something.
That was a live album I was looking at.
This is not a live album. This was a studio album done at Mellencamp Studios and on his label. And I think it's out of print. But I had the album because I had to go and interview him about the damn thing. All right, let's go take a look at traffic. If you find it, great. Well, I want to listen to it for about like a minute.
Well, if it's any good, we should listen to the whole thing.
Well, it's 3 minutes long. It's not that long.
Do traffic. I'll look for
it. But I just remember it sounding a lot like John Mellencamp. And it was like...
Well, you said Mellencamp produced it.
Yep. And his band. Let's get you updated.
Now, K-Rock Traffic.
Fort Myers, disabled vehicle, Summerlin Road and College Parkway. Got another one in Fort Myers as well, Daniels Parkway and State Road 82. Lehigh Acres, crash, Country Club Parkway and Joel Boulevard. And in Bonita, crash, Elementary Way and Burnwood Parkway. And you are up to date.
Let's see if this is it, Stan.
All right, roll them. That's it. Mitch Ryder.
Will you hear the bell? It's 9 o'clock. That's the time we start to talk. Push the heaven out of my face. Back the reps right over this place.
Hanging out with Rick Derringer at Brazzers. Doesn't sound like Mellencamp. It sounds like John Cougar.
Yes. Yes. evidently he was an idol. Mitch Ryder was Mellencamp's idol.
Devil with a blue dress, baby.
Yeah.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
Yeah. Let's get to find out what's going on with news in less than an hour. Let's take a look at the headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
All right.
A carjacking victim grabs the carjacker's phone. They end up in what we like to call a Mexican standoff.
Yep.
And that's racist, isn't it?
It sure is, but it's the truth. That's what it was.
You remember watching Lassie movies when you were a kid?
Sure do.
This is right up there with Lassie.
Did Sally fall into the well and sent Lassie for help?
Kind of.
Really?
A dog found an 87-year-old woman who fell in the snow and couldn't get up.
Ah, and then went for help.
Yep.
Yep.
And then, what is it, girl?
And then barked and they could translate.
Yep. What? What? There's an old lady stuck in the snow. Well, we'd better go help. You know, we all make choices in life.
We sure do.
We make more choices every day than we even realize.
Yep, but Haney and I have made choices. Junior's made choices. Dave the Waterman has made choices.
Well, one woman in England is tired of making choices. She is hiring someone to make every decision in her life on her behalf for a month.
Please.
And you wonder why socialism is popular.
Yep.
That's all right. The government will tell you what to do, where to work, what to do, what to think.
Yep.
And finally, it's happened again.
Oh, my God.
Bingo night goes bad. When two sexy seniors are involved in a brawl, 79-year-old woman, 86-year-old woman.
Jeez.
All on the line for B-I-N-G-O.
Yeah. B-I-G-T-I-M-E.
Let me tell you a little story.
Yeah.
There was a farmer.
Yeah.
Had a dog.
Yeah.
And Bingo was his name-o.
B-I-N-G-O. Bingo was his name.
Yep.
Yep. Laughter is important in everybody's life.
Hi, I'm Carol. I need to get Ming Toy out of the freezer to make room for the Arby's.
Four o'clock fluffer brought to you by Coastal Cooling and Daikin. Mark?
Stan?
Junior?
Haney.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
You know, he makes a very convincing Carol.
Yes, he does. And that was with no effect. That's a straight voice.
Yeah, go ahead. Hit it again.
Oh, damn, my computer crashed.
Hi, I'm Carol. I need to tell Stan to put the Arby's in the freezer.
Thank you, Junior.
Yeah.
Yeoman-like work.
Yeah. You're better than that.
A survey found that 88% of American workers are happy in their jobs. So, for the remaining 12%, we bring you today's list of the
top
tips for being happy in your work.
Top
you tips must be happy in your
for
work.
Being happy in your walk.
I'll never forget that. You must be happy in your work. Yep. You must be a bridge. I'll build this bridge, but with my own men under my command. Ah! Yep. You be happy in your work.
Put him in hot box.
Top tips for being happy at work.
Yes.
Just like me.
Yep. Look at him.
Get an ergonomic keyboard and an ergonomic chair and an ergonomic flask of vodka.
Yep.
quit your current job as campaign manager for Elizabeth Warren.
What are you doing over there? What are you doing?
My computer froze.
Yeah, you're better than that.
Sorry.
See, I knew that was a winner.
Yeah.
Whenever a coworker approaches your cubicle, just pretend you're on the phone.
Yeah.
Bunch of bitches.
Never, ever ask Carol in human resources about her cats.
Hi, I'm Carol. I'm the reason Chuck Berry was arrested in 1959.
Is there a problem over there with the delay, or is there something going on with your system?
My computer's running a little slow.
Uh-huh.
Too many Carols.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't handle it.
Yeah.
Top tips for being happy at work. You know, just be yourself. Be who you are. Unless it involves, you know, blackface.
Yeah. Get him to do it. I don't even want to joke about that.
Bring in a photo of your wife. If you don't have one, bring a photo of Tom Brady's wife.
Why is that, lady?
Living in America.
Living in America.
Woo!
Text machine, get up off of that thing.
Yeah.
I feel good. Jam!
Knew that I would. If you list your occupation as influencer, feel free to shoot yourself. Maybe replace that poster in your cubicle of an empty branch that says, "The kitty didn't hang in there." Add a plant to your cubicle and smoke it at lunch. Pack an uplifting note in your lunch. Just make sure it doesn't mention that you're a grown adult who's still packing their lunch.
This is not real!
No, it's not.
And finally, the very top tip for being happy at work. Never let him see you sweat.
Yep.
Or playing Fortnite on your work computer.
Hi, I'm Carol. FDR's legs work just fine with me.
And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, Freddy, baby.
I got to read, as part of the email section of this show, a text we just got. This is the how some people, Haney, think. We don't understand it, but this is how some think. Why describe communism as socialism? No one in Europe is told what to do or say unless it's under Russian control. The rest work where they want, pray as they wish, spend and live how they like also.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Yep. Someday you might learn something about what that is. Trumpian view or Republican view?
Is that a question mark or a statement?
That's a statement.
Oh. Well, all I can say for all of those lovely socialist countries is head over there now and ask the man on the street how that migration thing is going.
Yeah. Phil writes us, "Hey, heard you guys talking about, did you ever know anybody with a toupee? I told my friend once, nice toupe. Got upset. He immediately told me, it's a hair system."
Good Lord.
The Guardian.
Jesus.
I don't have time to read his whole thing. I just want to get this out for the Guardian. I think this is amazing. Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, could I get you to give a shout out to my mom? today is her 90th birthday. Her name is Katie. She is one of the strongest women I know. She still lives by herself, drives, and takes care of herself. I love you, Ma. That's amazing.
God bless you, Katie. You raised a good boy.
When we come back, our question of the week, your answers to follow. We're the Stan and Haney Show.
4 hours of whatever is going on in their heads. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. About a half hour away from Mark Haney and the news. But we've got our question of the week, and I'm going to pose it to you, let you think about it. And while we do traffic, feel free to call in and tell us your story. Everybody's got a story about this. Now, I'm going to preface it by saying I don't want any names of establishments. Do not tell me that you were in blankety blank restaurant. You can tell me that you were in a bistro or a fast food place or an Italian restaurant. I don't want names of restaurants. And I want you to put your thinking caps on with this one, because the question of the week is this. What's the worst thing you've ever witnessed at a restaurant? Now, I'm not, and why I want you to put your thinking caps on, don't just think about the food that you got and that you didn't like it, or there was a fly in the soup. Think about it. Other customers that were in the restaurant, and you cannot believe that they're actually there. Or maybe the staff had a fight. You got a waitress that lost her mind.
Did you see that video at the Waffle House?
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. So think about this. What's the worst thing you've ever witnessed at a restaurant? No names of the restaurant. You can tell the style of the restaurant, but I got a bunch of them. Most of the time when I was working in a restaurant. What's the worst thing?
I thought you were never supposed to speak of that again.
Not that one. I got another one. What's the worst thing you've ever witnessed at a restaurant? 277-9600. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home. Then we'll take your phone calls.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Okay, a few things on the board. Fort Myers, hit and run. Griffin Drive and Gateway Boulevard. Fort Myers, crash. Fowler Street and South Cleveland Avenue. Fort Myers, disabled vehicle. Summerlin Road and College Parkway. And you are up to date. Please, no names. You can talk about the style and really put your thinking cap on. We're not just talking about the food. We're talking about what's the worst thing you ever witnessed at a restaurant. It could be other customers. It could be somebody that wanted to bring their support dog in and it got loose. You know, feeding it off the table. I've seen it firsthand. Fights with the staff. Waitresses getting mad at each other. Noises coming from the kitchen with the broken plates. Remember, like, the curb?
And yes.
Don't worry. It's been taken care of. What's been taken care of? There's just a little problem in the back. It's been taken care of. What?
Yep. Not important, sir.
Yeah, it's not important. 277.
May I get you something? May I take your order?
96.
No, what was good?
Yeah, what was good? Yeah. That's what I'm talking.
I don't think that's any of your concern.
Nope. Worst thing you ever witnessed.
It's all taken care of.
277-9600.
I'm going to need you to sign on my computer. I had to mind crash now.
I will tell you, this one happened just a couple of weeks ago at a restaurant I was at. It was at a barbecue joint. And I say emotional support animals.
Picnic table, gingham tablecloth.
There was you were picnic tables and briskets and ribs and chicken, and it was busy. It was packed, and a elderly couple on the other side of the restaurant at their picnic table had a little yipper dog as the woman's support animal. So we're sitting there eating. I'm there with my girlfriend. She's got her friend with her. And we're at the table eating. Across from us was a mom and dad and a little baby, you know, on the high seat, you know, playing with her
sure.
food. A little child. So we're sitting there eating our barbecue. The lady across the way with her emotional support dog.
Were you wearing a bib?
I was offered. I declined. All of a sudden you hear, yip, yip, yip. The dog is underneath the table. This is supporting. Dog's underneath the table.
Their table?
Yes. Barking. Because, I don't know, it wasn't getting a scrap. The little girl across from me got so startled because of the dog.
Inside the restaurant.
Inside the restaurant. The little girl was so frightened, she started crying. The dad had to hold her. And for the first time ever, I started seeing people in the restaurant with the little girl crying, get that dog out of here. Get the dog out. Two occasions, the dog lost it and started barking. The old couple had to leave. No support animal. The thing couldn't even be controlled by their owners at the picnic table barbecue, and a poor little kid's crying. Good. What about you? What's the most worst thing you ever witnessed at a restaurant?
Well, I've told it before, but it's so good, I think it bears repeating.
Oh, yeah, the tank.
Some of you may be familiar with a certain establishment. A lot of bands play there. It's a bar and a restaurant. I was there with a bunch of my friends. Tommy's band, I think, was playing that night. And a young lady was fascinated because in this establishment, they had a lobster tank. You know, live lobsters. Yeah. It wasn't just a tank, though. It was a claw game.
Yeah, win your lobster.
Where you put in a couple of coins, and you get to drop the claw on live lobsters. And if you win, you pick it up with the claw, it drops it into a slot. Well, as intoxicated as this young lady was, she was able to manipulate the claw. Spent a lot of money doing it, and got her lobster. Now, when you win the lobster, what you're supposed to do is inform them you've won the lobster.
They'll cook take it up.
And how would you like it prepared? Yeah. She was so excited, she did not wait for the staff to assist her. She picked up the lobster barehanded and began running about the restaurant bar area, waving it around. Hey, look at me.
I won a lobster.
And she was showing her prize to everyone, and there was a man sitting at the bar, and she waved it in his face, and as she's waving it in his face, he bit off the claw of the lobster, and she thought that was even better, and began dancing and twirling and until the lobster was retrieved, and she was asked to leave.
Junior, you've been in the restaurant business. What's the worst thing you've ever witnessed at a restaurant?
So I'm coming at it from the other side, not as a customer, but as an employee. And I used to work at a very popular chain restaurant. Very popular.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of questionable things going on in the kitchen.
Yes. Yes.
Let's just say a coworker of mine he was working the grill, had a guy return the steak two times, and after the second time, he said, F this, I hate this job anyways. Threw the steak on the ground, it's all like fuzzy and stuff, and then on the back of the grill, on the wall, it's just grease has coagulated on it.
Yep.
So he takes the steak, rubs it down on that grease, and then throws it on the grill, and you know, put some seasoning on it, send it out. The guy ate the whole thing.
Yep, best steak he ever had.
Yep.
And that's why you know, when you're at a chain restaurant and you think about complaining about your steak,
think twice.
You're not at a steakhouse.
Nope. No. Where they pride themselves on their prime steaks.
Mm-hmm.
The one cooking it for you at a chain might not give a rat's ass. I know that, too. Let's go to the phones. Question of the week. What's the worst thing you've ever witnessed at a restaurant? Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, guys, it's Matt.
Matt, worst thing you ever witnessed at a restaurant?
Okay, so I was out with my family one night. I guess you could say I was good.
Your phone is horrible.
Is it?
Yeah. Try calling back. I can't handle that. And the listeners can't either. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Stan, this is PJ.
PJ, worst thing you ever witnessed at a restaurant?
This was pretty rough, guys. I won't name the restaurant. Obviously, they are closed. They're long gone. But I had just started working for a delivery service. It was late at night, long day. I come in to this place. You could slip and slide across the floor with your sneakers. It was so greasy and wet and unbelievable. Of course, they get a manager, and I've got this load of stuff to go into a spare room real quick. The guy opens up the door, flies the light on. I saw more roaches running for their lives than you've ever seen in your life. They were running up my legs and my shorts. I look at the guy just with this like a little look, and he goes, "I got a little bit of a bug problem."
Yeah, 277-9600. It's where you call in a John Taffer.
Yep. Look at this.
A Gordon Ramsay.
Yep.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, it's Pete.
Pete, worst thing you ever witnessed at a restaurant?
Hey, so I was...
I don't want you to even use slogans, okay?
Okay, sorry about that, but this little kid, he was about 3 years old. He kept running around. You know how that goes. And then next thing I know, he's whipping out his junk and peeing on my leg.
Get the hell out!
No, I'm dead serious. And the parents acted like it was funny, and, you know, I talked to
the manager. Hilarious.
Yeah, hilarious.
I got a free meal out of the deal, but...
I'm sorry.
It was horrible. It was the most worst experience of my life.
You got a free meal out of did you hang up?
Yeah, I did.
I just... What did the restaurant gave you a free meal? Did they kick the people out?
I would get them. I would kick them out. You know, I'd be
I know what you would do.
I was amazed because I always sample the question of the week around the building before I throw it on the air. See if anybody has a response. I'm amazed, and I haven't been in the restaurant business in a long time. A junior might know this better. I'm amazed how many managers of restaurants, when there is something in their food, when something it goes horribly wrong, that they go up, and this was more than one person in the building, they offered me a free dessert.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, they should comp the whole meal for you. I'm sorry this happened to you. It's on the house. How many managers, restaurant, I'll give you a free dessert. What about the meal that was ruined? Free dessert. Now, a true restaurant manager will comp that whole meal. If you want me to even think about coming back. Oh, he said, sorry that there was a worm in your salad and a roach in your steak. But would you care? I'll get you a free dessert. No, you're comping the whole meal. Ahoy, who's this?
It's Alex Jones. Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy. How you been?
I've been great.
Good.
How have you guys been?
You doing all right since you've been deplatformed?
Oh, it's been miserable. It's been awful. My cocaine intake is through the roof.
What's the worst thing you ever witnessed at a restaurant? No names, please.
No names. I was, January is my 20th year in the restaurant business. I've been a chef for 20 years now.
I was working on Mackinac Island. It was a we had a basement prep area.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
And the owners were notoriously cheap. They would go around and, like, garbage pick, basically, these things. Anyway, one of them brought a mirror. If you've ever seen one of the mirror displays for, like, cheeses. And,
yes, yes.
Okay. So usually it has, like, a cork board back mm-hmm. to it. And with a strap that keeps it in place.
Yes.
Well, one of these owners thought it was a brilliant idea just to use a regular mirror, like, off of your wall.
What?
And the sous chef was carrying up a meat and cheese display up the stairs, and it began to fall. He caught it, and his middle ring and pinky finger were nearly severed, only being held there by random tendons and skin. And so I'm hearing all this commotion, but we're in the middle of the Bacardi yacht races at the time, and 911, call 911. Like, what the hell's going on? I look over, our sous chef is like crawling up the stairs with a towel over his hand, and then he pulls it back for me. To my horror, I see that. The best part is, so there are no cars allowed on Mackinac Island, if you may or may not know. So they had to take this poor man up all the way to the hill, the highest point in the hill where a plane could take him to the mainland. They had to take him on a trash truck,
wow.
cart that was pulled by two horses.
What the? Wow.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call, buddy.
Where is that? Mackinac Island.
Junior.
It's the northern. Yeah, it's the northern upper peninsula of Michigan.
Thank you, buddy.
Oh, God.
It's a beautiful place, man.
Yeah, especially when you got the Vienna sausages.
Guess you don't want to get injured there, yeah. though.
277-9600. Time for maybe a couple of more. See, there's always something that surprises you when you ask a question of the week. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Susan.
Okay, Susan, you don't have to yell.
Sorry, I'm excited.
I know you are, baby.
Big fan.
What's the worst thing you've witnessed? No names of the
I personally was eating a BLT sandwich, and all of a sudden I went to take a bite, and it was a long finger, red fingernail in there. It was disgusting.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, dear.
That ain't necessary, man.
About a fingernail in there. Oh, God. Yeah. It happens. Let's check another one here. Ahoy, who's this?
Steve.
Hey, Steve. What's the worst thing you ever witnessed at a restaurant?
One of the line cooks kept messing with the dishwasher, and one night the dishwasher had enough. The line cook used to drink out of a pitcher, and he'd drink Mountain Dew while the guy whipped it out and spilled it.
Okay.
No.
I'll tell you this. And I'll leave it at that. And if you want to answer our question of the week, feel free to do so. Ahoy at StanandHaney.com. The dishwashers at restaurants, they work very hard, but they have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. And if any waitress, cook, short order cook, any mouthing off to the dishwasher, they'll snap on you. When I worked at the steakhouse, we would go through dishwashers like mad because you'd be in the rush and all the dishes and glasses would be coming in. He'd be in the weeds and we'd tell him, hey, we need clean plates up here. We need clean silverware. We need that. And they would lose it. They would lose it. I had to work a New Year's Eve one night the place was doing all the New Year's Eve dinners, New Year's Eve get-togethers, and the dishwasher, I'll never forget his name because it was a girl's name. His name was Kim, K-I-M, and he didn't like getting teased about that either. And Kim was, you couldn't see him anymore. There were so many dishes in front of him, and he was trying to run them through the washer. New Year's Eve says, screw it. I'm leaving, throws the towel down, takes off his apron, and leaves on New Year's Eve, and it was a mess.
Pandemonium.
Don't mess with a dishwasher. We're the Stan and Haney Show.
Remember years ago when we told you about that woman who made her own shrimp standing over a bucket? Well, it's all true. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Mark Haney in the news in just a second. We're going to do traffic for you as well.
You know, I think it is about time that we had a very difficult national conversation. We need to open a dialogue. And this is very serious because I was just talking to Junior and he is completely deluded.
About?
He truly believes that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, he truly believes that she is hot.
A lot of people do.
He believes this.
She has...
I believe it wholeheartedly.
She has...
He wants to marry her.
She has more followers on her social media, a majority of them thinking she is just adorable. And what they love most about her is she also posts cooking with Ocasio, whatever, Cortez. And she's in her kitchen and she's showing you how to cook food and she's tasting it with you. They love that. We're victims of social media. And she's the leader of it. She is followed by far more than any other member of Congress.
Well, now that she's in Congress, she's found out that certain things are expected.
Yeah.
And so she's been talking about this Green New Deal that will fix everything.
Yeah, that's what she thinks.
Obamacare, I think, was like 2,300 pages of documents when it was first started and grew.
Yeah.
Hers is 14 pages.
Mm-hmm. That's a good term paper.
And she has submitted this, and what she would like, she has listed it out for us.
Mm-hmm.
We will all have to give up our cars. Any vehicles that we do have will be electric, and the government will pay so that we have charging stations everywhere.
Right.
The government will pay for that.
Yeah.
Also, under her plan, there will be no air travel by anyone.
No.
We will forget how to fly.
Right, and how do we get around?
Oh, because the government will supply high-speed trains.
How do you, if you want to go to Europe?
Well, you could take a boat.
Right.
An environmentally friendly boat. Because I'm not done yet. Because we're going to dismantle all fossil fuel energy plants. And we're also going to decommission and dismantle all nuclear power.
How do you generate electricity then?
Don't worry about it. The government could release a line of credit.
You generate electricity. People have got these electric cars and stuff and charging stations. The electricity that you put into that battery of your electric car is made, generated using fossil fuels or nuclear.
Stan, you're getting upset over nothing. That's the easy part of the plan.
Yeah.
Now we get to the part of the plan where we tear down each and every building.
Yeah.
In the United States, and we replace it with an eco-friendly dwelling. That's your house. That's where you work. Every single structure will have to be dismantled. Some of them that are newer, they could refurbish it maybe. We don't really know yet. And also...
What a brilliant woman. What a brilliant woman.
We have to be a country where people who are unable to work shouldn't have to suffer. And they should be provided food and housing. And more importantly, not just those unable to work, Stan, but those unwilling to work.
Yeah.
They deserve a place to live, too. And so that's what we're going to do there.
Yeah, and she said this all in 14 pages.
It's amazing, isn't it? She's really, really brilliant.
Genius.
So we will have no transportation. We will have whole swaths of the population that have lost the motivation to do anything productive at all.
Oh, by the way, Haney, bleach freezes at 18 to 19 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's what I've been told. So if you do the math, there you go. How you like that, gay Tupac?
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Oh, where the hell are we? Okay, Fort Myers, crash, Daniels Parkway and South Cleveland Avenue. Lehigh Acres, crash, Gunnery Road North and Lee Boulevard. And one more for you, crash, Lehigh Acres, Sunshine Boulevard North and 15th Street West. And you are up to date.
It is. It's sick. It's like a child came up with
this. It's a child. Mark Haney.
But that's okay. Yeah. She's hot. Yeah. Junior will marry her.
Yeah. I'm getting a bunch of texts. Hot.
She is not hot.
Dude, look at that picture. Come on.
Please. Mark Haney in the news. Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing it to you. It starts right now.
This is
I'm Ernie Anastas.
With Ernie Anastas, Roseanne Scamardella, Warner Wolf, Spencer Christian.
I'm Gary King.
Hey.
And the Eyewitness News team.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchor.
Unbelievable. Yep. Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, February 7th.
Double M-X-I-X. Haney, as a texter pointed out, going to the moon was a crazy thought, too, okay? But we did the research, and we learned, and we achieved, just like Ocasio-Cortez has in her 14-page book report, how we're going to go green by taking airplanes out of the air. And
There won't be any space travel, folks. Yeah. Do you have any idea the carbon footprint on that?
And electricity will be made just out of the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Am I on my own here?
You're not. But there are so many people that think she's hot. And when she cooks, they just love her. And they want to see her succeed.
She's about to learn some hard lessons because as she's...
Didn't she look beautiful in her white cape at the...
in the straight jacket? Yeah. And that man-hater from Hawaii.
Yeah.
Remember her?
I know
who
her.
Who said, you need to believe the women.
Yeah.
As long as they're accusing a Republican. Yeah, well, she's a, and she's like communist.
Yeah.
And AOC's laying out her plan, and even she goes, wait a second, I'm from Hawaii. If we don't have planes, then don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Take a train.
Yeah, we'll make the train go to Hawaii.
We'll build a bridge, an eco-friendly bridge.
Yeah, I don't know if we can do that because of the sea.
might hurt.
Oh, you mean it would be difficult to build a bridge that long? Oh, no, we could do that. Yeah. It might harm a turtle.
Yeah, or a crab.
I don't know how you look at her and say that's hot.
No, I don't.
How can you not?
What? Don't confuse youth with beauty.
Right, yeah, Amy? She is going to age hard.
Hell yeah.
And she's got teeth like a friggin' shark.
Yeah.
Like rows of teeth. Yeah.
She find a place to live in Washington yet?
No, she can't afford it.
Yeah.
She can move in with me.
You would not last a week with that.
I'll try.
You can give it a try, but after a week of And
yep,
you,
yep, 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 squawk, 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 squawk.
And she will have absolutely no problem, Junior, telling you everything that you do wrong.
Yeah.
Everything that's wrong with you about how you're part of the problem.
Yeah, and you need to know how she feels.
Yep. And then the next thing you know, you'll see him coming in wearing hemp sandals.
Yep.
And, you know, a paper bag for a shirt.
Yep. Hammer and sickle.
Yeah, hat. I'm carbon zero now. I'm carbon neutral.
It's all about the animals.
No, it's not, Junior. No, it's not. Animals are harmful to plants. And without plants, where would we be? Oh, God. You know, I need to go to like an Ozzy concert or something just to clear the palate.
A couple of things you don't know, and then we got to take a break.
Oh, all right. There are only two songs that have spent at least 10 weeks at number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 without ever making it to number 1.
Oh, wow. I got no idea.
One of them is Missy Elliott's Work It.
Yeah.
I know one of your faves, Stan.
Oh, yeah. Don't even know what it is.
The other is Foreigner's Waiting for a Girl Like You.
Oh, their power ballad, which ruined them.
Yep. 10 weeks at number 2, never cracked the big one. The good folks at Kool-Aid would like you to know the Jonestown cult members who killed themselves in 1978 did not drink Kool-Aid.
No, they did not.
It was Flavor Aid.
Yep, cheap junk.
What was the original name of Seattle?
I don't know. I thought it was Seattle. But you're going to tell me it's not because you're reading it.
When people settled Seattle in 1851, they called it New York.
Can't do that. We already got a New York.
They changed the name to Seattle after a Native American Indian chief, Nathan Phillips, I think his name is, helped them out.
Okay.
A 33-year-old restaurant manager in St. Louis named Jonathan Newcomb got carjacked on Monday.
Yeah, he did.
Was sitting in his car on a break Monday night when the carjacker walked right up with a gun, told him to get out, and he did. Now, Jonathan tried to reason with the carjacker. That's a proven strategy. Explained to him that it wasn't worth it. The man responded by trying to shoot him in the leg. But luckily for Jonathan, the gun jammed. At that point, Jonathan decided it would be a good idea to throw the car keys on the roof of the restaurant, reasoning he could go and get them later. Now that's pretty clever. But unfortunately, he didn't have the arm necessary. And didn't throw them far enough. They ended up on the ground. The carjacker grabbed them. But as he was rushing over, the carjacker dropped his phone, and Jonathan grabbed the phone.
Well, look what I got.
Well, at that point, friend, you know what you've got. You've got yourself a good old-fashioned Mexican standoff.
Yeah.
Carjacker's got the keys. Jonathan's got the phone. Well, at that point, let's settle this like gentlemen. And the carjacker decided at that point to call it a day, call it even. I'll give you the keys, you give me the phone. Because, you know, you get somebody's phone, well, the police can probably ID you with that.
Yeah.
So he agreed and ran off. And the police have not caught him.
Yep. Junior, always remember, ambushes always need attractive bait, okay?
It's just crazy to me that you find her hot.
I wouldn't mind
She's
an ambush.
She's not unattractive,
But she's not hot.
But she's not drop-dead gorgeous.
She's no Elizabeth Warren.
Hell no.
In a moment.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill,
she looks like somebody after a long day would have body odor.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of perfumes.
And you know what? She's just attractive enough, yeah. And just the fact that she's a woman,
yeah.
She's not used to being told no.
Oh, no, she doesn't like the word no.
And she's just gotten to Congress and doesn't realize that that's what they deal with.
Yep, a lot of no's.
Mm-hmm.
She'll throw a hissy fit.
Well, she already has.
Yep, full hister.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Watching the Democratic Party consume itself.
Yep, that's what's going to happen. Because nobody other than the West Coast and the East Coast think like these people.
Nope. And what they fail to realize is they throw out, oh, look at all this free stuff we're giving you. You know what people value even over free stuff? What they value the most?
What?
Leave me alone.
Yep. Leave me alone.
Get away from me.
Not interested. Bye.
Yep. Really?
Yes. Very, very late.
All right. A man named Tim Kerfman was taking his trash out last Monday in Alexandria, Minnesota. He had his 4-year-old black lab mix.
Aww.
Midnight with him.
Yeah.
Aww. You see, he calls him Midnight because he's a dark color.
Yeah.
Pretty clever,
I
huh?
I get that. Midnight.
Now, this was just before the polar vortex hit. But we're still in Minnesota, so it's about 1 below 0 outside without the wind chill. Tim noticed Midnight was acting a little weird. Her ears were all perked up, and she doesn't usually do that. So even though it was freezing cold, he decided to follow Midnight. And Midnight led him right to his 87-year-old neighbor, Noreen.
Ah, Noreen.
Who'd taken a header into the snow and couldn't get her ass back up.
Ouch.
Timmy got her inside, and his wife put her in some warm clothes. It turned out she'd been out there, face down in the snow, for over 30 minutes.
Sweet Jesus.
Somehow, Noreen did not end up with frostbite or any serious injuries. But they all say Midnight saved her life, and Timmy told the local TV news he rewarded Midnight with what he considers to be an excessive amount of treats.
Yeah. Oh, look at Midnight.
That's a good dog.
Look at that. Neckerchief on and the amber eyes looking
Come
at
here,
you.
Come here, you rascal.
Big hug. A big hug.
Okay, now go away.
Oh, by the way, the next big internet thing with her will be when she changes her hairstyle.
Mm-hmm.
She's gonna change it after a while.
Yeah.
And that'll be the next big thing.
Has she done makeup tips yet?
I'll tell you right now, I don't follow her.
I don't follow her at all.
But most of America does.
I can't follow her train of thought.
No. Oh, it's scatterbrained. Completely scatterbrained.
I'd like to see her debate scatter.
Oh, wouldn't that be something? Idiot. Debating idiot.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill?
If he thinks she's hot, Ivanka would just make him pass out.
Oh, you can have her. I'll take Ivanka.
Any day. What? What?
Nope.
That's fine.
What?
I don't want Ivanka.
You're stupid.
I want Cortez.
You're stupid.
Yep.
Thank you.
Ivanka doesn't have to worry about where to live.
No. Let me tell you something. Ivanka doesn't have to worry about where to live. She's intelligent, and you'd like her to anyway, because she too is a lib.
And she's hot.
And she's hot.
Plus,
that's a woman.
You know, you get to go up to the old man. Can I call you dad?
Yep. Pa.
Sorry about that, folks. You know, there's a nasty subculture that thankfully most of us never see.
Right. They're called those liberal Democrats.
I'm talking about the dark underworld of senior bingo.
Oh. He speaks the truth. You don't want to get involved in that. That's worse than the Masons.
It is a deranged, cutthroat world.
Yep.
Police in Rideau Lakes, Ontario, Canada, got a call on Tuesday afternoon from the nursing home because of an all-out bingo brawl.
They got a special handshake, too, you know.
Apparently, a 79-year-old woman, or what they call a rookie in the bingo world, and an 86-year-old veteran woman threw down physically over bingo.
Oh, I would pay to see that. I'd pay to see that.
How did it all start? The fight started because one of the women had the nerve.
The
unmitigated gall to just walk right up and plop herself down in a regular's seat.
Oh, no, you don't.
Then once it got physical, more golden gals joined in on the fight.
Sure they did. More veterans.
The police had to physically intervene. Fortunately, no one seriously hurt. The police wound up not filing any charges, but they do admit it's a powder keg that could reignite at any moment.
Yep.
B-27. You don't have bingo, you silly bitch.
And that's the news for today, Thursday, February 7th.
MMXIX.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mikey Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. Somebody just texted that they're with Junior on this and that you and I don't know what we're talking about.
Jeffrey Zito.
We wouldn't kick her out of bed.
Jeffrey Zito. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, hot or not?
Hot or not?
I'm gonna have to see a picture. Who the hell is that?
That's the
AOC, man.
That's the one in Congress, the white cape wearing little troublemaker.
Oh no!
Thank you, Zito. No. Thank you.
So I don't even have
a lot
to
of teeth, man.
A shark.
Yeah.
And I don't even have to ask the follow up. I mean, Ivanka Trump smokes her.
Smokes her.
Yeah, definitive. There you go. Case closed.
Yep. Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney.
All women are crazy. Except you, darling. That's right. Just you. Stan and Haney on 96K. Yeah.
Cortez believes it. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. The Rob Show coming up at 6 o'clock. Got one more look at traffic for you coming up here in just a second. You know what? A majority of the texters are on our side, Haney. With this Cortez.
You know, maybe we should run for office on a platform of replacing the Caloosahatchee and making it into just Gatorade so everybody can have some.
If Junior thinks that psychopath is hot, then he should take a shot at Maxine Waters.
Oh, yeah. She's the OG.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
North Fort Myers got a crash, Mariana Avenue and Tamiami Trail, and a disabled vehicle in Estero. Ben Hill Griffin Parkway and Estero Parkway.
You know what? I don't think Junior has seen enough crazy yet to understand.
No, he's young. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic.
classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Remember when you were a little kid and your friends would be out playing a game like Cowboys and Indians or Fort? Some game where there was like fake boundaries. So they would say, okay, the bike path over at the Scaffidies is lava. And if you touch that, you're dead. And then the hedges over at the Slingerlands are poison snakes. And if you go over there, they'll bite you and you're dead. And those are the boundaries. But you weren't there when they started playing. Like you show up an hour later because you're going to the pool. You're like, hey, guys, I'm going to go to the pool. And they say, hey, don't touch the bike path. It's lava. Don't, the hedges are snakes. And you got to say, oh, I'm not, guys, I wasn't here when you did all that. I'm just going to the pool. It doesn't affect me. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's pretty much how I treat the pot laws in this country. Kind of the same way, you know, just the whole. Patton, you can't. You can't have that. It's illegal. Oh, I'm not. Go ahead. I wasn't here when you did all that. I know. Okay, don't worry about it. I know it's lava. It's just marijuana. Don't worry. See? It's fine. Don't worry.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Big Friday show. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. What's the worst thing you've ever witnessed at a restaurant? Now, I'm not, and why I want you to put your thinking caps on, don't just think about the food that you got and that you didn't like it or there was a fly in the soup. Think about it. Other customers that were in the restaurant, and you cannot believe that they're actually there. Or maybe the staff had a fight. You got a waitress that lost her mind.
Did you see that video at the Waffle House?
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. So think about this. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Stan, this is PJ.
PJ, worst thing you ever witnessed at a restaurant?
This was pretty rough, guys. I won't name the restaurant, obviously.
Thank you.
They are closed. They're long gone. But I had just started working for a delivery service. It was late at night, long day. I come in to this place. You could slip and slide across the floor with your sneakers. It was so greasy and wet and unbelievable. Of course, they get a manager, and I've got this load of stuff to go into a spare room real quick. The guy opens up the door, flares the light on. I saw more roaches running for their lives than you've ever seen in your life. They were running up my legs and my shorts. I look at the guy just with this like a little look, and he goes, I got a little bit of a bug problem.
Yeah, 277-9600. It's where you call in a John Taffer.
Yep. Look at this.
A Gordon Ramsay.
Yep.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, it's Pete.
Pete, worst thing you ever witnessed at a restaurant?
Hey, so I was...
I don't want you to even use slogans, okay?
Okay, sorry about that, but this little kid, he was about 3 years old. He kept running around. You know how that goes. And then next thing I know, he's whipping out his junk and peeing on my leg.
Get the hell out!
No, I'm dead serious. And the parents acted like it was funny, and, you know, I talked
to the manager.
Oh,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, hilarious.
I got a free meal out of the deal, but...
I'm sorry.
It was horrible. It was the most worst experience of my life.
Ahoy, who's this?
It's Alex Jones. Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
How you been?
I've been great.
Good. How
have you guys been?
You're doing all right since you've been deplatformed?
Oh, it's been miserable and awful. My cocaine intake is through the roof.
what's the worst thing you ever witnessed at a restaurant? No names, please.
No names. I was, January is my 20th year in the restaurant business. I've been a chef for 20 years now. I was working on Mackinac Island. We had a basement prep area, and the owners were notoriously cheap. They would go around and like garbage pick basically these things. Anyway, one of them brought a mirror. If you've ever seen one of the mirror displays for like cheeses and
yes,
okay. So usually it has like a cork board back to it, and with a strap that keeps it in place.
Yes.
Well, one of these owners thought it was a brilliant idea just to use a regular mirror, like off of your wall.
What?
And the sous chef was carrying up a meat and cheese display up the stairs, and it began to fall. He caught it, and his middle ring and pinky finger were nearly severed, only being held there by random tendons and skin. And so I'm hearing all this commotion, but we're in the middle of the Bacardi yacht races at the time. And it's like, 911, 911, call 911. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I look over. Our sous chef is like crawling up the stairs with a towel over his hand, and then he pulls it back for me. To my horror, I see that. The best part is, so there are no cars allowed on Mackinac Island, if you may or may not know. So they had to take this poor man up all the way to the hill, the highest point in the hill where a plane could take him to the mainland. They had to take him on a trash truck,
wow.
cart that was pulled by two horses.
What the? Wow.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call, buddy.
Where is that? Mackinac Island.
Junior.
Mackinac, it's the northern. It's the northern upper peninsula of Michigan.
Thank you, buddy.
Oh, God.
It's a beautiful place, man.
Yeah. Especially when you get the Vienna sausages.
Yes, you don't want to get injured there,
yeah.
though.
2779600. Time for maybe a couple of more. See? There's always something that surprises you when you ask a question of the week.
Blue skies. Yeah. Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.